To the financial injection for health outlined in the summer economic statement announced yesterday by the economic ministries of Donoghue and Chambers. Or is it an injection or running to stand still? Last October's budget allocated $22.5 billion to health. Not enough, its head Bernard Gloster said at the time. They needed an additional $2.7 billion. This time round, an additional $1.5 billion increase was agreed for this year, with a further $1.2 billion promised for budget 2025. Minister Pascal Donoghue said the extra funding was being allocated due to demand for better quality health care and the complexity of providing health services, including an ageing population and the effect of inflation and the COVID pandemic. Let's look at the numbers now with Brian Turner, who's a health economist at Cork University Business School at UCC. And Brian, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We can get bamboozled by figures, but, you know, $22.5 billion health budget last year, $25 billion or thereabouts in 2025, and that's nearly doubled in 10 years. Is there a theme here of governments continuing to set unrealistic health budgets and then having to play catch up with supplementary injections?
I think that was certainly the case for this year's budget. I mean, even when the budget last year was announced in October, at the time, the allocation for health was an increase on what was allocated for last year, but it was a reduction compared with the projected outturn for last year. So at that stage, they already knew that there was going to be, that the expenditure figure for 2023 was going to be higher than they had planned for. And yet they still, you know, allocated less money for 2024 than what they knew was going to be spent in 2023, which was never going to work in practice. Now, I know they said that they were going to review the costs and the expenditure in health and report back by the end of last year and try and kind of, you know, get a handle on costs, but that was never going to really wash in terms of the overall figures. So I think this year it seems to be a somewhat more realistic picture, I think, that they're painting, that they're saying, okay, we know what the outturn is going to be for this year. We're going to kind of take that as our starting point and then increase it by about 1.2 billion, which is roughly 5%, which is kind of, it's a modest enough increase on what the outturn for this year is going to be. But at least they are acknowledging that their starting point is the outturn for this year, as opposed to what they unrealistically expected for this year.
See, why can't health make the proper assessments? Why can't health balance its books? We know, you know, that there are the unknown events that happen, but a lot of what happens can be estimated for and planned for.
They can indeed. Now, I suppose one thing to note about health is that it's very much a demand-led service. So, I mean, each year they try and project what the demand is going to be for next year. But ultimately, you know, there is always going to be that uncertainty. I mean, you don't know how many people are going to turn up to emergency departments in a given year and so on. So I suppose there is that level of uncertainty, no matter how well they try and budget for it.
But don't you factor that in, Brian? Don't you factor that in?
I suppose there's a certain amount of factoring it in, but there's always going to be a level of uncertainty. Now, as we mentioned a while ago, the one of the big issues for this year's budget was they started from a lower base than they knew realistically had happened in 2023. So there was always going to be that issue of trying to make that budget stretch. So I think that the combination of issues there means that, you know, this year's budget was never going to be realistic anyway. So I think that. Now, there's also, it's worth noting, there's a kind of a natural level of increase, if you like, in the health budget every year, mm-hmm. arising from, as you mentioned previously, a growing and an ageing population and medical inflation. So we constantly get new drugs, new medical devices, new technologies, which are almost always more effective than what they're replacing, but they're almost always more expensive than what they're replacing. So there's a kind of, as I said, a natural level of increase. Now, if you look at the Sláintecare report, they allowed a natural increase in Sláintecare of about 3% a year, which I think is probably a little bit conservative. But taking that as a base, I mean, if you look at the increase for next year is roughly 5%. So 3% of that is kind of a natural level of increase, yeah. And then 2% of it is you know, allowing for service expansion, which is going to be fairly modest, I think.
So if we're on 5%, will that give the HSE the opportunity to improve services, increase bed allocation, and deliver for people?
It might give them a little bit more breathing room than in previous years. Like I said, it's not going to be a huge expansion of services, and that's if you take the 3% as the kind of the natural level of increase. Now, some might argue that the natural level of increase is probably closer to 5%. So there may be a little bit of service expansion. I wouldn't expect a significant expansion of services with next year's budget, but certainly it's more realistic.
But short of the HSE increasing waiting lists and waiting times, how do they get to grips with overspend?
I suppose, as you say, the waiting times and waiting lists are one way of essentially rationing care. Now, I mean, you know, there are certain areas where they can ration care. And I mean, it should be said that care is rationed in every health system. So it's a case of how they do that. And certainly waiting lists would be one way of rationing care. Now, certain care can be rationed, but some care can't. So again, every year we see significant overcrowding in emergency departments. And that's the kind of care that can't be rationed. So they have to try and make do with that as best they can. But certainly, I think waiting lists for elective care is one way of rationing.
Okay, but the health budget. If you project ahead to this time next year, where will the health service be financially?
Hopefully, ideally we won't need a supplementary budget as we tend to do most years, because the budget for next year is a little bit more realistic. I can't guarantee that. I wouldn't want to bet against it. But I think if we do need a supplementary budget next year, it should be fairly modest, as opposed to, I mean, we're looking at roughly $1.5 billion of a supplementary budget this year. So hopefully we shouldn't find ourselves in that situation next year. We may need some extra money, but hopefully it won't be on the same scale.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll be talking about the wider aspects of the summer economic statement a little later as well. But for now, Brian Turner, health economist at UCC, thank you very much.